Go ahead and open your Bibles with me.
And open your Bibles of Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. We're going to talk about the proper response to through trials as a local church. And we're going to talk about a little bit, just kind of give you an idea. Just I was listening to the special music about a servant's heart. You know, the best thing in life really is we need to come to a point in our lives where as a church or a family or individuals, you know, we need to say, God, here am I, take completely of me. Once you give your life completely to God, once you really say, God, this is, here I am, or remember I said to you, we need to get an offering plate. Once you're in the offering plate and you offer yourself completely to Him, He has everything, your finances, your families, and I look at my little girls, and they're not really little no more. Some are little, but they're all grown up. And, you know, I want them to grow and be mature and be godly ladies. And I want them to be successful in life, but I want them to give their life completely to Jesus Christ. I mean, I want them to be where God wants them to be. And, you know, my daughter looking at different colleges, and, you know, she's going through a situation not too long ago, and she was crying. And I, as a father, all I could do is go to her and say, you need to go to God. You need to go to God and deal with that situation and work those things out. And if it's important, you need to maybe stop and pray and fast a little bit. You need to get hold of God. But the best way to get hold of God is surrendering your life to Him. You know, that little song that's just to challenge your hearts. But listen, if you want to be a servant, then you ask God to give you take me completely. Here am I, Lord. What do you have me to do? And that's important. Listen, if we get that idea and get that taste in our life, listen, what can stop this church do great mighty things for God? Nothing. It's God that does it. Acts chapter 11, before I get on another sermon. Acts chapter 11, verse 19. We're going to look at verse 19. We're going to look at verses up to 26. Acts chapter 11, verse 19 says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, with a purpose of heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I ask you this evening, Father, to bless the reading of your word and challenge the hearts. God, I do thank you for being a wonderful God and a loving God. But Father, without you, the Holy Spirit, challenge the hearts, we're nothing, Lord God. And I ask you to bless it, that you receive honor and glory in everything that's been said and done. But yet challenge the hearts and help us to ponder those truths, Lord God. And Father, some things maybe in our lives that we're struggling with, Lord, I pray that some of these words or thoughts that you use, Lord, that could help us in those needs, Father, but we need you most importantly, Father. God, as we look at trials of a church goes through and difficulties, Lord, and we see the examples, Father, but yet we can see the examples in our personal life. But Lord, help us look at these truths and help us apply them in our life and see that they're nobody, no difference than we are. They're people just as we are going through struggles and you know, difficulties, Father, and Lord, their lack of faith and their just the struggles of life, and yet they depended upon you, Lord. And I thank you for showing us an example that we can follow and learn and do, Father, that we are able to achieve the same things they have because they had you and we got you, Father. Now, Father, just be with us this evening. The ones that are sick, Lord, protect them and help them, get them back on their feet and bring them back home. And God, I ask you to be with Miss Christie's father, protect him and help him get on his feet, Lord, and heal his body, Lord God, and give the doctors wisdom and comfort Miss Christie, Lord, through this time. But Father, we do love you and thank you for your goodness and your love towards us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I was looking at this, you know, the properties of a response of trials, and you know, we really don't know what somebody's faith is until they go through trials. You know, you really don't know your faith, how strong you are, until you go through that trial. Abraham would not have known that he could have sacrificed his son until he got to that temptation, but that trial in his life to provide his son to sacrifice him. You know, would I be able to do that? I don't know. Would I be able to do what Job did and go through all those things and lose my kids and have five caskets and lose everything I got? And my best friend that comes to me and explains to me my problem is all my sins and nobody cares. My wife says, you know, look at your condition, where you're at. And you know, listen, God ain't going to do nothing with you. It's just curse God and die. Just kind of give up and just die. You know, she's going through difficulties and it's a problem. And I just sit there and say, you know, thank God. And I don't know if I could go through that. I want to go through, let me phrase that, I don't want to go through it. I want to be able to do that if I had to go through that. Okay? But if God wants that, then I want to want what God wants. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Because I love being, I'm selfish and prideful and like everybody else. But I want what God wants. We look at this church here in this situation in their life, and they're just going through difficult times. There, occasion, there was a man went to J.C. Penney and asked him, what was the reason for his success in life? And he says this, adversity in Jesus Christ. Adversity in Jesus Christ. It helped him see the truth. Listen, going through problems and trials helps you grow. If you're doing it right and you mess up, you look and you say you're messed up and you grow. Listen, that's a process. And isn't it funny that you learn your mistakes? I was taking the test, kind of refreshing my memory. I missed things and I go back and I remember what I missed. Mistakes. I remember those things. And I took the test. I said, oh yeah, I remember missing that one. What's this one? I don't remember that one. I got it right the first time, but the second time I didn't get it right. You know, it's just funny how things like that works. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Ain't it funny that he calls it praise and honor through those trials? It's more precious than gold, more precious than anything you can gain. And it's, listen, you know, Job was a man that was, we think about great things, but you think about what he went through. But what made Job so great is that the end result and how he stayed with God and he didn't quit. I mean, that's what made Job great. What did Job do? What did he really do? Did he win millions of people? Did he start millions of churches? Did he do great things? All he did is say, yay, Lord, I'll live for you. What did he do? He didn't quit on God. He just continued what he knew he could do. Think about that. We go through trials in our life as a church or individually. Listen, those trials are better than gold. It's more precious, he's saying. Trials refines us. It purifies us. It causes us to make an assessment in our lives or evaluate in our life where I stand in my holiness in God. Am I living a holy life? Am I living trying? Am I doing the things I ought to do? Do I go to prayer meeting? Do I go to soul winning? Do I preach? Or do I do it for show or do it for God? What do you do for God? You show up to church because you have to? You do it for God. I mean, really evaluate what you're doing. An individual go experience a trial, but sometimes churches go through trials and heartaches. Listen, there's adversity, but to how to adjust to those things, it's a proper response, and that's what really makes a difference. I was at a church just recently, and I remember they had a lot more people, but now they're small. And listen, you stand and you look out, and there's only a couple of people. And like even today, I'll give an announcement, and it was just very few people, and it's like, it's so empty. I want more. There's so many seats available for people to be. Where are they at? You know, imagine there's only five people here. It's kind of, But listen, trials go up and down. Churches goes that. It happens. I mean, I had a church in Spain, and listen, it goes up and down because of flux of people getting transferred back in and out. But that's part of life. You know, and the thing is, we go through it, that this church here was going through adversities in its situation. The church was molded by significant experience in the book Life of Stephen, chapter 8, verse 1. Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it kind of gives an example of this. It says, Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution. Not just a small persecution, not just a persecution. There was a great persecution against the church that was in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The people were getting pushed out and surrendered. What was the persecution? Listen, Stephen had a big impact on this church because he was martyred. He was a first martyr, and people saw it and affected the communities, and people moved out. You know, the Bible said, go in all the world and preach the gospel, but yet everybody was standing there. And yet the persecution, I believe, was pushed on that church to push them out. They were kind of staying, conjugating one area. He was pushing them out to get out. And as they went, they kept preaching. They kept teaching the Word of God. And it spread. And yet it seems bad, but it was good. Trials in our life seems bad, but it's good. You got to see it from God's perspective. Listen, He doesn't spread. He's spreading it out. But listen, He did it to help them. The proper response to trials is how we need to look at it. And the proper response with them is that they didn't quit. They didn't quit. First thing I want to do is quit. Can I hear an amen on that one? You want to quit. It's tough, and I just want to stop. There's some go-getters, doesn't matter. My brother's the type of guy that you said he couldn't do it. He would just want to do it just to prove you wrong. You know, I'm just like, forget it. I ain't worth it. That's what you know what that makes the guys Navy SEALs different than the other guys? It ain't the strongest. They're not the fastest. They're not the smartest. They don't quit. They don't quit. What about you? Would you quit? What stops you to quit? What's going to stop you to be a Christian? What's going to stop you to serve God? What is it? Your phone don't work? I don't know. But something's going to stop you or try to stop you. It's the determination of these people. Look at number 1, at 19. We're going to look at 19, verse 19. It says, and they which were scattered abroad, says, upon the persecution, it says, that arose about Stephen, travel as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch. And it says, preaching the word. Listen, the response was they kept on preaching. They didn't quit. They kept on preaching the word of God. God allowed the persecution in their life. He was dispersing them. It's like He was sowing seed in the world. He was using those like He was sowing the seed of the Word of God out, and it was planting. He was using that, but listen, they didn't quit. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. We know that. How could they hear if they didn't go to there? So He pushed them out. But the Bible says how, it says, goes on, it says in Romans chapter 10, it says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they really hear without a preacher? How can they anybody in your community, your job places, hear without a preacher telling about Jesus Christ? You say, I'll just live a good Christian life. That's good, but they still don't know nothing. How they know that baptism doesn't really save them? Because you know the false prophet is going to do this. They're going to talk about it and tell me all the religions and tell how great they are. They're not going to talk about the blood. How they know? Persecution was not intended to hurt them. It was Christ designed to use them and scatter them. Psalm 76, verse 10, you can look at it. Psalm 76, verse 10, is a little, it caught me off guard when I had to really look at it. It says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The wrath of man praises God? That's kind of hard. A man screaming and hollering at his wife and that's going to praise God? It's kind of how the praise in God. But you know, think about it. When they were saying, away with Jesus, we want Barabbas, we don't want him, we don't Zion, crucify him, crucify him. The wrath of man gave God praise. And he died on that cross. The wrath of the brothers of Joseph didn't want him and sold him into slavery. The wrath of man gave God praise and brought him down to Egypt. And God told him, look at me in Genesis chapter 50. Verse 20. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Or look at verse 19. Genesis 50, verse 19. And he's talking to his brothers because they were fearful because their father passed away and they thought he was going to die. And he goes, but as Joseph said to him, fear not, for I am in the place of God. It's a question. Fear not, for I'm in the place of God. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it this day to save much people alive. The persecution in that church was, it was people, listen, people died. Listen, little boys and girls lost their mamas and daddies. Listen, aunts and uncles died. People lost their children.
The persecution was bad. It was great. And yet he was using it to get the gospel out. It seems bad. Church going to go through a trial, a purging. It's going to seem difficult. But they kept preaching the word. God is in control. This seemed bad to you, but from God's perspective, he had a purpose. He has a reasoning. And thank God he's in control. He's a sovereign God. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. But he goes, the remainder of that wrath shall not, he says, shalt thou restrain. There's a point, he says, enough is enough, and he stops it. Thank God he's in control. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. It doesn't matter, preach the word. You don't have to be a preacher, but continue preaching. No, what stops you from preaching the word of God? What is it, the trials and difficult lives, stops you from telling others about Christ? Listen, they continue. They didn't stop. They continue preaching. They continue bragging about Jesus Christ. The preacher was asked, are you stupid enough to believe the Bible? He says, yes. What are you? Think about that. Are you stupid enough to believe the Bible? Yeah. Amen. He says, what are you then? Yeah, if that's stupid, then I'll be stupid B. Ain't that proper English, stupid B? But listen, he continues. Listen, some years you're up, some years you're down. Just keep preaching. This church here was going through trials and preaching, but they kept preaching the word. But look at verse 20, though. It says, some of them then were men of Cyprus and Cyrene. It says, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Listen, they didn't preach the word of God. They're preaching Jesus Christ. No matter how bad trials get, they continue preaching Jesus Christ. They didn't stop. All they did is talk about Christ. Ain't it funny that you go to work and people talk about football? They can talk about NFL. They can talk about college. They can talk about, what is that team? LSU. They can talk about that. I mean, all the success they've won, one game or something. You know, they talk about it, right? You're all quiet on that one. Listen, I remember trials of Bill Clinton and all that situation. And everybody was talking about it. I always found an opportunity to talk about Jesus Christ. Talking about Auburn playing a team, and I think it was Auburn playing a game, and they passed the last second, and then they called it back. Thought it was a touchdown. You know what it was? It crossed the line. You say, how do you talk about Jesus Christ? Like, when you transgress, you cross the line, you cross that boundary. That's sin. There's no winning. There's no do-over. That's it. There's a price. The team lost. Listen, the whole team lost. It affects everybody. You can always preach Jesus Christ. Listen, they continue preaching about the Word of God. They continue preaching about Jesus Christ. There's chief Indian. They came to that chief and says, tell me about the grace of God. So the chief, with a great wisdom and knowledge, because he didn't go to the white man's college. He didn't go to the white man's theology, and he didn't learn the liberal arts and all those great things. He just knew about Jesus Christ. And so he takes some leaves, and he gathers together those leaves, and he takes the earthworm, and he places the earthworm on top of those leaves, and he lights the leaves on fire. And the fire starts consuming the leaves, and he grabs the earthworm, and he picks it up, and says, this is me, and Jesus Christ saved me. Simple. That's grace. You don't need great wisdom. You just talk about Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter trials you're going through, difficulties. Preach Christ. You notice everywhere in the Bible says preach Christ. Everywhere in the Bible is teach about Jesus Christ. Everybody, listen, you want to be on missions? You got to preach Jesus Christ. You going to build a church? You got to preach Jesus Christ. Everything's about Jesus Christ. You going to be in your home, in your life, in building a family, you preach Jesus Christ. What else is there to preach about? Everything's about Christ. How to live a home, how to raise your kids, how to find a husband, whatever you want to do. It's Christ. Through trials. They didn't say, oh me. They kept preaching about Jesus Christ. See, listen, Satan wants to tell others. He wants to stop you. You know, he told Peter, he wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy us. He will discourage you. Listen, basically, it makes me think, if I don't preach Jesus Christ, I'm doing what the devil wants me to do, Anna. If I stop talking about Christ, I stop preaching about the Word of God, if I stop living for God, I'm doing exactly what the devil wants me to do. Do you want to do what the devil wants you to do? You don't. But you don't look at it that way. Continue. Listen, trials are difficult. Great persecution. But they kept preaching. Listen, he tried to question you, the word of God. Question those strengths. Keep preaching Christ. Keep preaching Him. Look at verse 21. And it says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And you notice, they were during the persecution, they were preaching Christ, the Word of God, they were preaching Jesus Christ, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. Listen, we keep on preaching, we keep seeking God's power. And during that time, listen, persecution causes humbling. And Deuteronomy, I'll just turn this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2 says this. And thou shalt remember all the way, Moses talking to Israel, they're about to come back into the promised land, and he goes, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee for 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what's in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. Listen, he wants to humble us. When we go through persecution, it causes humility. It humbles us. It brings us to our knees. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble and pray and seek my face. But if you don't humble, why are you seeking God? Basically, I want God to fix this. God, you do it my way. I want to get saved. This is why I want to get saved. God, I want you to do it this way. I need a house payment. I need this. God, I need you to do it this way. That's not humility. That's me working what I want. And God, you work what I want. I'm in charge. I'm a God. We don't even want to say that. But the thing is, I humble myself. God, I can't fix it. I need you to help me resolve. I humble myself. It brings me down to my knees to acknowledge it and to look up. It brings this to us. Be afflicted and mourn. Weep. And your laughter turn into mourning. And your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And He shall lift you up. James chapter 4, verse 8, 9, or 9 and 10. It brings us to look up. Psalm 5, 3, it says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayers unto thee and will look up. The thing is, why we don't wake up in the morning and pray to God? Because we're so busy, because I got it all planned out. I got it all strained out. This one's going to do this and this and this. I need God, but I don't worry right now. God, I got it all figured out. I got it all figured out. I don't need to lift up my voice in the morning and look through my eyes at you, because I need you there. I got you there, but I don't need you right now. But you know, you get through trials and it humbles you, and you say, I can't do it without it. And then you on your knees and you're looking up. Humility brings you down. You want that. You need that. The thing is, it makes me wonder, as I go through trials in my life, it puts me on my knees. It puts me in a proper place where I'm humbling myself to God. And when everything's working right, guess what? I get off my knees. The problem is, I probably need to stay on my knees more and thank God that everything's working right and thank God just for who He is. He didn't need to put me on my knees, because I'm already on my knees now. Think about that. Trials put you on your knees, don't it? It humbles you, don't it? Why then He has to put you on your knees? If you're already praying on your knees, and you're already living on your knees, good times, thanking God for everything, just a breath of life, everything, got a praise, a promotion, thank God, and you're always there, and you're always waking up morning, and you're always lifting up. He don't have to put the trials in your life. He made to put His trials and show you, say, hey, there's a problem here. There's a problem there. I didn't know about that. Thank you, God. But it's easier. But yet, we don't want to be on our knees, but yet, David says this in Psalms 121. He says, I will lift up my eyes on the hill from which my help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord, which created the heaven and the earth. My eyes are always looking up, for He's my help and my need. He's always there. That's what we do. It brings us, when I get my humility, I'm humbling myself down. Pride is a problem. Pride is causing so much, it stinks. I was talking about the prayer meeting last night about dirty feet. Dirty feet is because of pride. Get them cleaned. Get them clean. That's probably nobody wants to go to Jesus Christ, go to our church, because we stink. Because of our pride. Think about it. These people don't listen to me. I'm the preacher. I am. But that's not it. The problem is, got to take Him where He's at. Got to love Him where He's at. And He gets loving God. and serving God with all his heart and all his mind. I said, come on. I need you to help me. Can't do it without you. I need you to help me. I need you to, if you would, I get my daughter, can you clean the bathroom? I need your help. I can't do it all. Would you? See, the pride is, yeah, can't she do it? Can't he do it? See, pride stinks, don't it? It really does. Humility causes us to humble ourselves to God. It causes us to get us to ready to for one thing. It gets us ready for the power of God. It gets us ready to receive the power of God. How can I give you, God give you power if you're up here? James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He resists the proud. Who played football? Remember this? The Bo Jackson stance? Hall of Fame? He resists you. Come here, son. Come here. I need you to get close to me. Put your arm around me. Put your arm around me. Put your arm around me. Come on. Put your arm around me. Come on.
How do I do?
You can't, can you? What's the problem? What's my arm? Put your arm around my body. Come on. Come on. Don't be difficult. Come on. Come on. Come on. What's the problem? I'm stiff arming, ain't he? If he comes humbling, I can let him come in. God resists the proud. Thank you, bud. What does he resist the proud? He stiffs arm us. We're going to go in our way and what I want and how I want to do it. Preacher, I'll serve God. This is how I want to serve God. Preacher, I love change, but not change this way. What? Change? You're going to change. Brother Scott changed Sunday morning. Do you know that? He didn't preach like me, did he? No, he didn't. He ain't good looking. He ain't handsome. He don't even know how to speak English right. Listen, we're different. But we get to God, we humble ourselves. But he says this, but he risks the proud, but he giveth grace and humble. If I want God's power and God's grace, I humble myself before God. And more I humble, more I get closer to God, more grace I have of God. I mean, I need a growing grace. I'm going to need dying grace. I need all kinds of grace. I need grace to preach. I need the grace that God to help me to win souls. I need God to do these things. But I need God. The more I humble myself to God, He gives me the power to do those things. Listen, she can't make the 103-year-old woman smile, but when she's humbling, she's trying to do what God wants to do, and she don't know the lady's problem, but yet she says something. What did she say? It doesn't matter what she said. She was being faithful, and God used those words. That's what matters. Job 22, verse 29 says, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there's a lifting up. And he'll save the humble. There's a lifting up. Listen, that lifting up develops our character. Romans chapter 5, real quick. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. It says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patient experience, and experience hope. But we glory in tribulation. Listen, how we glory in tribulation? It works in my character. And I see God, when it works in my character, I see that there's a tribulation, it works with patience. I can wait on God. I know that God is going to provide. And, you know, just like my dad used to tell me, he said, son, don't worry, it's going to work out. That patience, it can't work out. God, I got to do it now. Dad, I got to fix it now. But patience. Patience. It helps you endure those things. Endure those trials. You know God's going to work it out. Job went through those things. He was suffering. You notice that he was suffering so much when God was talking to him and said, stand up and gird yourself like a man. Be a man and stand up. He still had sores on the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He still had sores on the feet when he prayed for his friends. He was still going through that trial. But he started going through it when he seen God's perspective in that trial. He was able to pray. Able to see what God. The thing is, in that trial we go through, I'm just as guilty. I don't see God. I see the trial. And it's difficult. I want to kick it out of the way. Don't give it to Brother Peterson, not me. Amen. Do y'all feel that way? Give it to Brother Peterson. He can do it. He's a big guy. It hurts. But it helps develop our character. Listen, it helps us remove the trials. That trial is coming to our life. There's 1 Corinthians 10:13, for there's no temptation taking you, but such is coming to men. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But with the same temptation, making a way to escape. He said, I didn't go take it away, but I'll provide a way to get through it. I'll provide the means. He said, you think it's tough? I ain't going to let more than you can handle. He's faithful. But he's doing something. He's allowing that stuff. The church will always go through trials. Church will go up and down. I mean, if you've been in this ministry with Brother Streeter for years, how many trials did you go through? There's a lot. And there's going to be more. But why? It's to develop you. To help you. To make you strong. To encourage you. It builds that character that you go through. My daughter said to me a while ago about, I don't want to play the piano. When I get up there and play, I get scared, you know. And then I start getting scared. I start messing up. Okay. So what's the problem? Once you've overcome that, guess what? You won't have that problem. Right. Yeah. The first time I'm preaching. Yeah. Whew. Yep. God, I don't know if you're right on this one. I come here, look, folks, I came here thinking, I don't know. I'm doing what you want me to do, but I don't know. Lord, me preaching? Me? But I know it, God, because I looked at me, saw my failure, saw my inability. It ain't me. It's God. You start looking at God and get you through those things. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. Wait on him. He will exalt you in due time. Wait on, depend on him. Listen, he persevered through the blessings. Persevere, don't quit. People wants to quit. People stop serving God. When trials get difficult, they stop. Why you stop going to church? If you got difficult life, your marriage is falling apart, everything's going to sour to south, whatever, why stop going to church? That's the place you need to be. Hey, I don't want to go soul winning right now. I got too much. That's the place you got to be. How many? Come on now. Come on, talk to me. Because y'all killing me today. How many times you get into difficulty? It's tough. Your wife is. I know you never fought, so I won't ask you that. Your wife. Just pretend your wife. They're arguing, okay? I know they never fight. You want to get on your knees and just thank God? No. It's hard. It's hard to do that. God, you know the woman you gave me is, woo, and she ain't here so I can say what I want to say. You know, Lord, she ain't listening. If she would do this, and it ain't, that's not resolving. But you know what resolve is? You know what? The problem is there's an issue, situation, and you know what I need to say? Sorry. Swallow it. Resolve it. Restore it. It's difficult. But once you start resolving those issues, but how can I resolve it if I don't get to prayer and get with God and start going to God and start crying to God and say, you know, forgive me. I'm a failure. How can I do that? Because, you know, the problem is I can want to talk about everybody else's failure, but I want to talk about my failure. But when I realize this, that I'm supposed to love her as myself. I'm supposed to love her as myself. She's not lovable. Does it matter? She may not like me. She may, I hate you. I hate you too. Have you ever been in that situation? But when you humble, God gives that grace to forgive and love her. Even if, say, let's say she's wrong or he's wrong, the spouse is wrong, it restores it. He gives you that power to overcome it. The church's going to go through difficult times. We may hurt each other's feelings. The preacher didn't smile at me. Brother, he just kind of, Miss Morgan don't even talk to me. You know, it comes to the silly stuff sometimes. But you know what the thing is, it may be silly, but it does hurt us, doesn't it? But the problem is we get off that focus and start caring for another. But we go through trials. But so when we humble ourselves through the humbling, the persecution causes humbling, and then humbling places us in a position of, for power, we're able to receive when we humble. So humble and plus God's power equals soul saved. Think about that. Because we're a church that starts serving God, verse 21, Acts chapter 11, verse 21. Says there was the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned to the Lord. Listen, they were going through trials and they were humbled, but listen, people were getting saved. Lives were changed with the power of God. But if I don't humble myself and I can get people to say a prayer, that's just a false profession, really. I can't make people get saved, but I can try to persuade them much as I possibly can, and the Spirit of God brings the conviction. But I got the God's power in my life, and I'm talking, and I'm sharing my burden, and something you say or a way you say it that God uses, and it pricks their hearts. But how can you have that if you're not humbled? How can you not have that and say, God, here am I. Let me be the servant. Whatever you want me to be, I'll be involved. If it's picking up trash, if it's washing dishes or whatever, I'm just trying to come up, just humble and say, this is blow my means. Nothing's blow your means. You're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He called you His child and a brother. You got a great response. He humbled Himself just to us, to be like us, to die for us. He washed our feet, didn't He? He washed your feet. Can't you wash somebody else's feet? That nasty, dirty feet? We don't want to do that, do we? I would just wash my own. God could wash His own, but He washed your feet. He said, if I'm the master and wash your feet, you need to do the same. Listen, that power gives us to win souls. All power, He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is upon you. We got the power of God upon our lives. Real quick, just to keep preaching the word, keep seeking God's power. Listen, verse 24 and through 26. He says, but he says, for he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost. That means he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was a surrendered man, and God was leading him. He had the power of God in his life, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. Here's a man that saw that there's a need to get somebody else involved in great things, but he was willing to humble himself and say, you know what? I need some help. I'm going to go get somebody else, get him involved. It ain't about him. It was about the souls of men. In verse 26, and he said, he found him and he brought him into Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves, where? With the church. Because they were participating. Often, so often, we get in trials, we quit. We don't want to get involved. Imelech, remember Ruth? Imelech left, was it Naomi, her husband? It was a famine. And they sojourned out of Jerusalem, out of the promise of God's land, the land of bread, and they left and went to Moab. Supposed to be a short period of time. That's what sojourn, for a short period of time. For 10 years they dwell in a land is not theirs, in wickedness. And their sons married wicked women. They were not of God. They don't supposed to. But Ruth was one, remember, she followed because she heard. Listen, we want to quit. Abraham got in trouble in a famine. He went to Egypt. Isaac got in trouble in a famine. He went south. He wanted to go to Egypt. God stopped him. During trials, we see that the church would want to be getting through trials or persecution. And listen, that's what he says. For not forsaking assembling ourselves together, so much of the matter as some is, but exhorting one another, so much more you see the day approaching. And I hear that word, the soul of the day is approaching. You see how times are. Listen, through trials, that's when you need to get in the house of God. Through trials, that's when you be involved in ministry. But listen, sometimes we go through trials and it's heavy. It's difficult. Sometimes you might need to come talk to me and say, preacher, this is what's going on. It may be, say, you know what, you do kind of need to take a break on this. Kind of relax on it. Do some basic things. Stay in the preaching. Stay underneath the teaching of the Word of God. Stay involved. But you know, there's the times that you say, well, I can't give it up. But sometimes the best method is go home, make some sugar cookies, some chocolate chip cookies, and maybe some peanut butter cookies, and go to a nursing home and start telling people about Jesus Christ. That's the medicine that you may need. Because it's not about you no more, it's about others. And that trial is not on your mind. It's about others. getting to start participating. Start getting involved. They did. They were getting involved. Listen, people were getting saved. It wasn't apostles. It was people like me and you. And they were preaching the Word of God. They were preaching Jesus Christ. They didn't stop. They got involved. They were humbling themselves and bragging about Jesus Christ. And God gave them the power. And listen, when Paul went up there, look at verse 20, Barnabas. Look at verse 23. When he came, he told him, he went up there, right, to Antioch. He came and he seen the grace of God. Where's the great preachers? They're not there. It was just normal people that humbled themselves to God. And they saw great grace and he exhorted them. What did he exhort them to do? The purpose was this, of the heart. Have the heart continue. Don't stop. And help continue. But trials, what we want to do? We quit. So let me get to the end. That's my introduction. They taught much people. In verse 27, 28, you see the heart, and it says, and they came to prophets and to Jerusalem and Antioch, and they stood up of one of them named Agabus, and signifying that the Spirit there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. It says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren who dwelt in Judea. You notice that when their hearts were preaching the Word of God, and they were humble, and they were serving, and they got involved, they saw a need, that every man, it amazes me, this book of churches in Acts, every man was involved. Every man. Every man. That means the woman and the children and everybody. There was a unity. They saw a need of a brethren in Judea. There's a need about a building. There's a need about soul winning. There's a need about women's prayer meeting. There's a need about men's prayer meeting. There's a need about a lot of things. Are you involved? Every man was involved. There was a need. Everybody needs to be involved. Why? Because we need Brother Ray, because he's got a gift that I don't got. We need Miss Sister Audrey, Nathaniel and his wife, Miss Faith, Brother Dale. We all have a faith. Listen, we're all part of Grace Baptist Church. And our Father is Jesus Christ. And He called us together to what? To win the world. We need each other through trials. We need each other. If I'm in a battle of war and bullets are flying, who do I need? My buddies? Watch my back. I need you to take the flank. Cover fire. He needs us to cover fire to keep their heads down, doesn't he? Yeah. You see me and I'm struggling. Why don't you get on your knees and start praying to God and say, I get the power of God? What if somebody is not here and they're missing? Why don't you get on your knees and start crying to God to help them? Not to talk about their sins, but God, they need you. I don't want to. This is my brother. Yeah. There's souls. We've only had a little bit of baptism. Why we can't have more souls be saved and get more baptism? What's different? God, that's what you want us to do. What is it stopping us, God? But every man got involved. Missions, every man got involved. Building fund, every man got involved. There's a need. Everybody. 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 Doesn't matter how old, does it? It's a need. We're going to go through trials, individually or as a church. And I was looking at this. This was a proper response to that church. That church kept on preaching the Word of God. That church surrendered and humbled and got the power of God. And listen, they kept participating. They didn't quit. Peterson's leaving. We hear this statement. There's going to be a big gap. Let me admonish you a little bit. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Because we should be all involved already. Yeah, it's a little bit heavy way. Have you ever carried a telephone pole? You can't carry the whole thing, but somebody carries the front, middle, it carries the leg. You get more people involved in this, and it's not as heavy. It's uncomfortable. I'm trying to get out of here, guys. Please, just help me. But everybody was involved. But you don't carry your load. It's going to carry the load on me. It may look like you're carrying the load, but you're not carrying the load. It's going to be so heavy on me. It's going to be heavy on you. That's why it's every man got involved, to help the brethren, to help the neighbors down the street. They're lost. We're one accord.